Welcome to Dads with Daughters. In this show, we spotlight dads, resources, and more to help you be the best dad you can be.
Welcome back to the Dads with Daughters podcast, where we bring you guests to be active participants in your daughters' lives, raising them to be strong, independent women. Really excited to have you back again this week. I love being able to sit down and talk to you every week about the journey that you're on in raising those daughters of yours. Every week, we have a great opportunity to be able to listen, to learn, to walk on this path together. And I say it's a path together because, you know, I've got two daughters. I know you've got daughters. You're listening because you're passionate about your kids. And it is so important to be open to learning because there's no one right way to father. It's so important that you are open to be able to listen to others and listen to their experiences, because you may find some kernels, some things that are going to help you along the journey that you're on as well. I love being able to also bring you different people, different guests, different men, women, and others that have had different journeys, that they've been on different journeys themselves, that have different experiences and different resources that they can share with you. And today, got another great guest. Kelly Kay is with us, and Kelly Kay is a best-selling author, pastor, and evangelist whose passion is traveling the world telling people about Jesus. Kelly Kay has made a huge impact internationally by leveraging social media. With daily teaching videos on TikTok, Kelly's unique style of speaking and communicating the Bible has captured the heart and attention of millions. He's also got a brand new book that he's working on. He's authored a couple of different books, including Think About That for a Minute, Volume 1 and Volume 2, Get Lit, Stay Lit, Spread It, and Reckless Love Revolution. He's also got a brand new book that we're going to be talking about as well that he's just finishing up, going to be sending out into the world here very soon. But above and beyond that, he and his wife, Lindsay, have five children, and three of which are daughters. So we're going to be talking about his own journey as a father. Kelly Kay, thanks so much for being here today.
Man, thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute honor.
It is my pleasure having you here today. And one of the things that I love doing, first and foremost, I want to turn the clock back in time. You've got five kids, but we're going to focus on those three daughters that you have. Think back. We're going to turn the clock back in time. What was the first reaction that you had when you found out that you were going to be a father to a daughter?
So first, let me explain. My oldest two daughters are actually my stepdaughters. So my oldest daughter is 23. Her name is Brennan. And then my middle daughter, she's 19. Her name is Avery. And then I have a two-year-old daughter named Jet. Now, I got to tell you this. So I remember my wife, when we were dating, you know, she asked me, does it bother you that I have three kids? And in the moment, it was without hesitation that I was able to say, not at all. It didn't bother me at all, because I had the most amazing stepmom in my life that you could ever. I'm telling you, she raised me since I was 2 years old, never treated me like I wasn't her child, always included me. I never felt that she was not my mom, right? And so I just kind of knew that God gave me her for a reason. And when I started dating somebody seriously that had children, it made sense to me. Like, okay, God, you gave me this stepmom because I'm going to have to repay what she gave to me to these other children. I didn't think I was going to have to do it times three, but God's got a sense of humor like that. So honestly, when I found out I was going to be a dad, it's a little different than most people because I'd already met these kids. That brings up another issue, though, is that Brennan, when I started dating my wife, she was 7 years old. And she thought that I was the enemy. She thought that her relationship with her mom and dad ended because of me, which that was not the case at all. They'd, you know, long been split up before we started dating. But I had to make a choice to say, yes, I still want to do this with her, even though she was making life pretty miserable for all of us for a short amount of time. But I just always knew, Kelly, God gave you an amazing stepmom, and it's going to be your job to pay that back. So to answer your question, what did I think? I just kind of knew that's what God wants me to do. He wants me to be a father, and he wants me to raise amazing godly daughters and to speak their worth and value into them. And it doesn't matter if they have my blood or DNA or not. That's what's amazing about God's family, is that he picks and chooses. He puts you together for a purpose, on purpose. And so to be honest with you, I was very excited and happy about the task at hand.
So one of the things that you had talked about was that Brennan and you had kind of built that relationship because she saw you as that enemy. And there are other dads out there that are stepping into relationships or they're stepping into that role of being a step parent, maybe a little bit scared about that as well, because of stepping into that, not knowing what to expect. Talk to me about what you had to do with Brennan to be able to heal that relationship, to build that relationship, to be able to get to a point where she didn't see you as that enemy, but saw you as a father.
Absolutely. You know, here's the thing, because I get it. It can be intimidating when you come into a relationship and there's already kids there and you're not the father. Man, I get it. The first thing that you have to remember, and the first thing that I tried to keep on the front of my mind, is that I chose them. They didn't choose me. So a lot of times we can get into these relationships because we love the mom, we love the woman, and then the kids don't really reciprocate that. Well, they didn't choose this. So you need to remember that. So there needs to be a ton of love, a ton of mercy, and a ton of grace for those children, because this is brand new to them too. And they didn't do anything wrong to deserve this. They didn't pick you. So you need to come in with as much grace as you can. So, you know, I let her be herself. I let her air her frustration. I let her say and do what she needs to do. I mean, within reason, I'm still going to be the father and I'm still going to keep things in line. But at the same time, I gave her space and I let her talk about it. I let her tell me how she felt. Because the truth is, I knew because of the relationship I'd had with my stepmom that there's going to come a time in the future where she realizes who the dad is. Yeah, I may not be the biological father, but over the next 20 years or so, she's going to see me at every basketball game. She's going to see me every single day. I'm going to be the one paying for her supplies for school. I'm going to be the one taking care of what. And there's going to come a day where it's going to click. And she's going to say, oh, my gosh, I missed it. I didn't understand then, but I understand now. And it was when that day came for me, it was so amazing. And what's really cool now is that Brennan and I are best friends. We are the closest out of all my kids. She and I, matter of fact, just a couple nights ago, we went dad-daughter date. I took her to dinner. We went shopping, went to a movie. And that's just something we love to do together. We have an extremely close and tight relationship now. But the only reason that we are able to have that is because I allowed her a ton of mercy and grace at the beginning, because I knew she didn't choose this. I'm choosing this. And I need to let her develop and come into this on her own. If we come in and try to make them feel awful and tell them how horrible they are for being that way, they don't understand that. And all you're going to do is divide your family even more. And you're going to put gaps and drive wedges between everyone. So really, it's just you've got to love them on their level, because they're not able to love you at your level yet. And it's just that understanding that's really going to help bridge that gap.
I really appreciate you sharing that. Now, I talk to a lot of dads that have daughters. One of the things that I hear from a lot of dads is a fear. And the fear for you might have been a little bit different, because you're stepping into being a stepdad and dad to a existing family. But a lot of dads say that there's specifically some fear to raising daughters specifically. What would you say has been your biggest fear in raising daughters?
Oh, man. You know, I think my biggest fear is sending them out in the world with a feeling of being undervalued, especially when you come in as a step parent. They already have this sense of rejection. They're already going to be carrying that around, that my dad, for whatever reason, he left. And I get it, you know, from being from a divorced family as well, as I carried around that weight forever of, what did I do? Why didn't you want me? How come you didn't love me? When that's not really the case. So my fear was coming in to this, they have this feeling of rejection from their own father, whether it's validated or not, they're still going to carry it. I didn't want them to leave the house at 18, 19, 20 years old, still carrying that. That was probably my biggest fear, is that I want them to make sure that they know who they are, who God says about them, and that they are worth so much that they don't have to just go give themselves to the first person that wants them because they don't feel any value. That's the last thing I want. Was another daughter that's a statistic of teenage pregnancy or just somebody that just allows themselves to be used. It breaks my heart to see girls and women like that. And that's what I didn't want to put out into the world.
Now, one of the things that is always interesting for me, because as I said, I've got two daughters myself. You've got five kids. And every parent of multiple kids has to be very intentional about what they're doing to build those relationships, because every child is completely different. and you have to understand what those differences are. So talk to me about, what did you have to do to build those relationships uniquely with every child to be able to be the dad that you wanted to be?
For sure. Well, I mean, again, grace, man. If I got to come back to one word over and over, it's going to be grace. It's understanding each child is different, just like you said. They're not all going to receive love the same. They're not all going to receive correction or discipline the same. So it's really spending time getting adjusted to each child, learning their personality, what they enjoy. So what I would do is, you know, with Brennan, you know, she loves to go to movies. So something I would do special is just make sure I would take time out to take her to a movie, to take her to dinner. That's what she really enjoys. My son, Chase, who's also my stepson, which I'm referring to them as stepkids to you. I've never referred to them as stepkids in front of their face or to them, not one single time. That's another thing. If you're coming into a relationship with kids, do all you can to make them feel like they are yours. Whether they're calling you dad or not, you refer to them as your kids. I'm telling you, that does something for their self-esteem. But so just when I was getting to know them, I knew that's what she liked. Chase, on the other hand, he doesn't like to go do movies and stuff like that. So I would have to find other things that he enjoyed. Or if Avery likes to get gifts, you know, I'd buy her something and bring it to her. It's really just understanding each child is different. What is their love language? And then try to communicate with them on that level. That is going to be so big. What we do, though, as adults and as parents, is that we want to love and speak to them the way that we want to be loved and spoken to. And we don't realize sometimes that that can actually be very damaging. If their love language is quality time and they want to spend time with you, but yours is gifts and you just show up with gifts all the time, man, that's great for you. You feel like you're really knocking it out of the park, but really all they wanted was to go to a movie or go to the park or just spend some time. And now they feel neglected or less valuable to you because you're not spending time with them, when really in your mind, you went above and beyond, right? You love to buy gifts, so you're showing them love. But it's not about what you want. It's about what they need. So it's really spending time getting to know them. I mean, our generation has this horrible problem of just handing kids a phone or an iPad and telling them to go away. Don't bother me. Go be on this device. And we don't even know our kids. We wouldn't know how to parent them or love them or correct them properly because we don't even know who they are. We need to actually spend time getting to know them. And your kids are awesome people. They're amazing. Spend time with them. You will be shocked with the things that they say, the things that they know, the things that they're picking up on. And it gives you so much insight into their lives and into how to be the correct parent for them. We just ignore that so many times. And then we wonder why we can't relate to our own kids. And really, for a lot of us, it's our own fault at times.
Definitely so true. And it makes me think back to my own kids and trying to better understand who they are. And I've only got two. So being able to have five at very different ages is definitely a challenge. Now, talk to me about that, because the way that you have to interact, the way that you have to father your two-year-old is going to be very different than your interactions with Brennan. And so having that very diverse age range of kids and wide age range of kids, how do you see yourself fathering in a different way, parenting in a different way, and how do you maintain that?
That's a good question. You know, we were pretty intentional about letting the three older kids get a little older before my wife and I had children together, only because I had this fear of, if I have another child, I don't want to love my biological children more than the other three. I mean, there's a love there that it is what it is. You're going to love your own child different than your stepchildren. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that paternal nature, you know, but we can't let that be seen to those other children. I don't want them to feel that way. So we were intentional about letting them get a little bit older first before we even tried, just because I didn't want that. So that was part of it. So by the time that we had Jax and Jet, the other three were a bit older. They understood. We were pretty established with our relationship, so it was okay. Yeah, it's been a big difference raising an 8 and a 2-year-old now versus a 23-year-old, 19, and an 18-year-old. And really, it's trying to keep it in perspective. Just because I've changed, I can't treat these two too much differently, because I don't want to paint some picture to my older kids that I love them less or differently. So it's really a juggling act of just trying to be consistent. However, if you will train your kids up in the way that God tells us to, and you follow the Bible, it's all going to be pretty much the same. It's going to look pretty much the same. Yes, you're going to grow and you're going to change and you're going to do things differently. But if we're consistent in just honoring God with His word, you should see some consistency in the way that we raise our children as well, right? We're still installing godly principles into them. We're still speaking value into them. We're still letting them know who God has called them to be. So you have this element of it all looking the same, even though, is it the same? No, not at all. I've changed. You know, when I was in my 20s parenting, it looks a lot different than me in my 40s parenting. So it's really just trying to find that consistent thread and make sure that all of your kids and your entire family sees what you're doing. That way they have some grace for you too, understanding that, hey, you're growing, you're changing. And I'm just very open with my kids. There's nothing I won't talk about. And I tell them, yeah, I did this with you. I'm sorry I did it that way. I was young and dumb. I'm doing it this way now. I wished I would have done that with you. And they have grace for you. I'm telling you, if you will be open and honest with your kids about any, obviously there's some things you don't want to talk to your kids about, but I'm just saying on the whole, talk to them like they're real people, not somebody below you or beneath you. Give them the respect that you want given to you. And man, they will have grace for you when it comes to parenting because they see how much you love them and that you're really pouring into them. And so many parents don't do that today. And it's just a cultural thing that we just kind of push our kids to the side. And man, it breaks my heart because your kids are amazing people. I've said it before, but I'll keep saying it again. Your kids are awesome.
So with three daughters, it's not always going to be easy. You talked about one aspect of your experience in being a father to a daughter that was not the easiest when you first were in the lives of your first three kids. Talk to me about, for you with raising daughters, what's been the hardest part in being a father to a daughter?
You know, the hardest part, it's just going to keep coming back to that value. Now, was it the hardest part because I feared it and because I kept thinking about it and fearing it, that that's what I had to deal with? Or is that just what all girls go through? I don't know. But the hardest part has been instilling that value into them. I watched Brennan go through high school, date some real quote unquote winners that just really broke my heart that she was with them. And I saw the way these boys were treating her. And I just had to keep trying to tell her, Brennan, you're worth more than this. This is who you are. And I kept trying to show her in the word of God, this is who God says you are. And you're valuable and you're worth more than this. And it's worth saving yourself for somebody. And it took, man, let me just give some hope to some of you. If you are watching your daughters make these bad mistakes, there is hope. There is hope. Keep speaking truth into them. Listen, it's not your job to change anybody. Only Jesus can. It's not your job to save anybody. Only Jesus can. Your job is to keep speaking the truth and showing them who Jesus is in their life. And that's what I kept doing with Brennan through each boy. Every time she would come to me crying about some guy that cheated on her or did her wrong, I just kept instilling that value of who God says she is. And I'm so happy to tell you that 23 years old, she'll be 24 next week. She is engaged to the most amazing godly man that we are so excited that he is about to join our family. We are thrilled to have him a part of our family, but we had to watch her go through terrible relationship after terrible relationship until she finally figured out her value and her worth. But she did figure it out. So yes, that was hard. Yes, it was scary. But man, it's so good to know that the Bible is true to its word and that when you train up a child in the way of the Lord, when they're older, they will not depart from it. And to see her marrying a godly man means so much to me. And I'm so excited and so happy for her. But it did go through struggles of us having to take her bedroom door off for a year, having some hard conversations and groundings and dealing with broken hearts. But man, keep speaking the value, even if they don't see it. Keep going till you're blue in the face, because eventually it's going to quicken them. They're going to remember your words. They're going to remember what you said. And man, to see that it worked out and it panned out the way God said it would is just, man, it's beautiful to me. But that's the hardest part, is just getting them to understand their value. There's something about being girls and women and guys too, but I think women deal with it more, of just understanding their own worth and really who they are and who God made them to be. That's just the way the devil really attacks women. And it's our job as men of God, especially of godly fathers and husbands, is to keep instilling that value, not only into our daughters, but into our wives as well.
So I mentioned that you are a pastor. You are a staff pastor at Limitless 405 Church in Oklahoma. And one of the things that you have really done to connect not only with your own parishioners, but even broader to a much broader audience is bring forth scripture, bring forth the Bible, bring forth religion and spirituality to social media. And you have attacked that on many different platforms, but specifically on TikTok. And I guess going through and becoming a pastor yourself, I don't know if you would have ever thought that this is where you would end up. Maybe you did. But talk to me about being a pastor and being able to share what you're sharing now to a, I'm going to say a young demographic, because there's not a ton of people our age that are on TikTok. There's some, but a much larger of the audience is very young. But you're relating to them and you're bringing a message that has to be relatable because of the numbers that you're seeing. So talk to me about that and maybe what you had to do to be able to change the way that you thought about preaching, about being a pastor, to be able to bring this to a broader audience like that?
You know, first, I'll just be honest with you. I did not want to get on TikTok. I don't even like, first off, I just thought it was people dancing. All right. And I was like, oh, well, I can't even dance anyway. Why do I need a TikTok? But my wife for years was like, Kelly, you need to get on TikTok. And God started speaking to me. And I just knew he wanted me to get on TikTok. So when God starts telling you, you can ignore your wife, but you can't ignore God, right? So eventually I said, all right. So actually it was a year ago. It was last December when I got on TikTok. Here's the deal though. I see social media as the mission field. And I think everybody should. You know, we send people overseas and we raise all this money for missions and we're sending people to go preach. But understand, the internet, your phone is a mission field in itself. You can reach people from all over the world right there on your phone. The truth is, people are holding their phones, scrolling all day long, watching videos and content. It's just how it is. And you can have people that get mad saying, oh, this, the world isn't what it used to be. And I wish these kids weren't doing it. You can get mad all day long, but it's not going to change anything. You can get mad or you can do something about it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. I see this as a mission field. If everybody's sitting there watching videos and scrolling, I'm just going to put something in front of them that's worth watching. So here's the deal. How do you keep? Yeah, because I'm old. I get it. Fair enough. How do you get a younger audience to engage? I mean, I'm getting between 2 and 3 million views a week on TikTok right now. The only way that's possible is, for one, you need to understand that this generation, they're looking for real and they want real. They recognize real. So if you get on there trying to be fake, trying to be somebody that you're not, they're going to notice it right away. Nobody's going to watch your content. So for one, I've never tried to pretend to be something that I'm not. Two, I get on there and I just answer questions that people have that I think pastors aren't really talking about. You know, I've done videos on, you know, why do we go to church? How do we know this is the right religion? What does God say about divorce? Do dogs go to heaven? I mean, I've touched on every single topic that you can think of, because that's what real people want to know. They have real questions, especially people that are afraid to go to church because they feel judged. They have all these questions and they don't know where to go for these answers. So I'm just giving them biblical truth in a way that they can understand, because I just speak like it's me and you. I never understood when I was graduating seminary, I had classmates that would go and preach these big sermons using all this Greek and Hebrew and these big words, like they were trying to flex on everybody. And I never understood that, like showing off their knowledge. I thought that we went to seminary so that we could understand complex subjects and then make them easy for others to understand. I thought that was the point. So what I do is I try to take these tough subjects that the Bible talks about, and then I try to find a way that anybody at any age, any race, any level can connect to, can relate to, because that's what we're supposed to be, all things to all people, right? We're not supposed to be a stumbling block. If I just got on TikTok and started using all my Greek and Hebrew, trying to make these flashy messages, no one's going to watch them. But the fact that I look like everybody else, I sound like everybody else, and I'm giving you what you want to know in a way that you can understand it, people connect with that and they keep watching. You know, I do scriptures that everyone have read a million times, but I'm just giving a fresh perspective on it because I'm making it fit today's society. I'm not changing the word of God. How did Jesus teach? He told stories. He used things that people understood from their day and age. And that's the exact same thing that I'm doing. And it's just working. Now, I got to give God all the credit, because who am I? Or I'm just some crazy looking dude on the internet. God's doing all the work. I'm just trying to be obedient. So that's how I got started and how I've been doing this thing.
So I also talked about the fact that you also have taken those messages and you've become an author as well. And you've got a brand new book that is going to be coming out very soon called Think About That for a Minute, Volume 2, 40-day devotional for a fresh perspective. Talk to me about not only this book, but talk to me about what led you into wanting to move into writing. I've been an author before. I've written a book myself. It's not easy. It takes a lot of time, a lot of patience, a lot of effort. So what was that calling that made you say, I need to bring these messages out to the world. And what is now bringing you to writing this new book to help people in a different way?
I never thought I was going to be an author. I never wanted to be an author. I barely graduated eighth grade English class, man. But it was in 2016 when I released my first book, Reckless Love Revolution. And the only reason I wrote it is because God laid it so heavy on my heart to write that book that I didn't know what else to do. So I wrote that book, put it out. It did all right. It sold between 5,000 and 10,000 copies, something like that. I mean, that's over a 5-year span. And then after I wrote Reckless Love, I wrote Get Lit, Stay Lit, Spread It, which is about how to get on fire for Jesus and not burn out. I wrote that one because I'm a full-time traveling evangelist. I'm the associate pastor in our church, but 3 weeks out of the month, I travel and preach at other churches. And what I noticed around the country, everywhere I went, is I was seeing burnt out Christians everywhere I went, and it was breaking my heart. So I wrote this book about getting on fire and staying on fire, because the truth is we can live on fire 24/7. We don't have to burn out. So I write those two books. They did okay. Like I said, a few thousand copies, nothing crazy. Then I start praying, all right, God, what do you want me to write next? And I really felt like God was saying, Kelly, the words of Kelly Kay aren't going to change anybody's life. It's my word that changes people's life. So feed my sheep. And I said, okay. And then I remembered Psalms 1:1-3 that says that if we meditate on God's word day and night, we will prosper in all seasons of our lives. Here's the problem. Most Christians aren't prospering. Why? Because they're not spending time in the word. The truth is we live in the most biblically illiterate generation of all time. People do not know what the Bible says because nobody's reading it for themselves. So I really felt like God was calling me to feed the sheep, meaning give them his word. So I said, all right, I'll write this 40-day devotional. Now, I was finishing it up right at the time that God called me to get on TikTok. So I've been on TikTok for about 3 months. I had about 50,000 followers. I released that book. Now, my other two books, like I said, did about 5,000 to 10,000 copies each, something like that, over, you know, span of 5 years. I was expecting this one to do the same. But as the TikTok following kept growing, at the end of every video, I would just say, hey, if you like this message, check out my new book. It's a 40-day devotional. That book started selling like crazy. Like it started selling around 200 copies a day simply because of the views on TikTok. And I knew when I wrote that, I called it Volume 1 because I just had a feeling God wanted me to write more of those. And now I totally see why. The response from that first devotional, and I call it Think About That for a Minute based on Psalms 1, because all you're doing is meditating on God's word. That means thinking about it. That's all it is. I'm giving you a scripture each day to think about and meditate on so you get the word in you. The response from that book has been insane. People saying they love the fresh perspectives and the way that I break down scripture and tell stories. So naturally, writing another one was just the next thing to happen. So it's completely finished. It's just going through the editing and the finalization period right now, Volume 2. And I think we've already sold probably close to 500 pre-orders for that book. So I cannot wait to see what God is going to do with it. But man, just seeing people every day write to me that they've given their life to Jesus, or they got on fire for Jesus again, or rededicated their life simply because they got in that book and it just helped them with their walk with God. Man, that's what it should be anyway. You don't need my book. All I did was give you a scripture and I helped you meditate on it daily. All I did was help you fulfill the promise God gave to you that if you will get into his word and meditate on it day and night, you'll prosper in every season of your life. There's nothing that I did. I just gave you the word and made it simple. I'm telling you, it blesses me that this book has done so good. And what even blesses me more than anything was that it wasn't anything that I did. I just gave them God's word. You know, I wrote 2 books trying to knock it out of the park myself, and they were wildly mediocre. And then here I just give God's word and it's a huge hit. And it's like, God, you're so good. You know exactly what people need. They don't need me. They need you. And that's what I give them. So that's why I'm so pumped about this new book about to come out, because it's just more of what already worked, more of God's word.
So as you think about the future, what's next?
For me, all I want to do is I want to keep traveling and I want to keep preaching. I want to keep writing books. I just want to get Jesus in front of as many people as I can. There's a passion. It just burns inside of me. I want to see people get set free. I want people to understand the freedom that Jesus paid for on the cross, and that eternity doesn't start in heaven. It starts here on earth, and you can have an abundant life here. We don't have to wait till we die to have the blessings that God's got for us. I want people to step in to the amazing freedom and just the relationship that they can have with Jesus. And I'm not slowing down. So, I mean, my calendar is already filling up for next year. I'm going to keep making videos every single day. I'm going to keep writing books. I have plans to go to all five regions of Africa this next year, to go to Tokyo, to go to Australia. Man, I'm just going to put Jesus in front of as many people as I can. That's what's next for me.
Now, we always finish our interviews with what I like to call our Fatherhood Five, where I ask you five more questions to delve deeper into you as a dad. Are you ready?
Let's go.
In one word, what is fatherhood?
Love.
When was a time that you finally felt like you succeeded at being a father to a daughter?
The day that Brennan and I were driving in the truck and she said, I finally see that you've been my dad all along. And that was just, my heart swelled up. It was just the greatest moment, remembering all the pain and trials we went through while she was growing up, to see that we finally had the relationship that I'd wanted since day one. That was it.
Now, if I was to have your kids here and I was talking to them, how would they describe you as a dad?
They would say that I think I'm funny. He thinks he's funny. That's what they would say. And they think I am too. They just won't let you know that. But I'm hilarious. I got the best dad jokes, okay?
Are any dad jokes good?
Every single one of them, if I tell it.
Now, who inspires you to be a better dad?
My stepmom. She passed away a couple years ago at 55, but I still think about her every single day when it comes to being a parent. She showed me what it's like to love no matter what. She showed me what it looks like to be a Jesus follower. She showed me what it looks like to love like Jesus. She's been my biggest inspiration as a parent, for sure.
Now, you've talked about a lot of different things today, things that you've learned along the way, things that have helped you to be a better dad, and you've given a lot of pieces of advice. As we finish up today, what's one piece of advice you'd want to give to every dad?
Give grace. Give mercy and instill value. If you will do those things right there, if you will give your kids grace, show them mercy, and you will teach them who they are, I'm telling you, when they grow up, and I've got kids that are 2 and I've got kids that are 24, so I've seen it play out. If you will do that, you will have some godly adults, godly kids that grow into amazing godly adults. And what you want is for your kids to do the same thing with their kids, instill value, show mercy, and give grace, and just keep that cycle going. That way your kids aren't going to have to break off horrible generational curses that you pass down. We get to choose what we pass on to our kids. Be intentional about it when they're little so you're not having to fix it later when they're adults.
Now, Kelly Kay, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being here, for sharing your story. If people want to find out more about you, where should they go?
You can go to kellykministries.com. You can get my books there. You can find all my socials there. Honestly, you can Google Kelly Kay Ministries or Kelly Kay Preacher, and you will find more than you care to find about me. I promise you.
Well, Kelly Kay, I just want to say thank you again for your time, your passion, and for sharing your own journey as a father today.
It's an honor. Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed our time together and hope we get to do it again.
If you've enjoyed today's episode of the Dads with Daughters podcast, we invite you to check out the Fatherhood Insider. The Fatherhood Insider is the essential resource for any dad that wants to be the best dad that he can be. We know that no child comes with an instruction manual, and most dads are figuring it out as they go along. And the Fatherhood Insider is full of resources and information that will up your game on fatherhood. Through our extensive course library, interactive forum, step-by-step roadmaps, and more, you will engage and learn with experts, but more importantly, dads like you. So check it out at fatheringtogether.org. If you are a father of a daughter and have not yet joined the Dads with Daughters Facebook community, there's a link in the notes today. Dads with Daughters is a program of Fathering Together. We look forward to having you back for another great guest next week, all geared to helping you raise strong, empowered daughters and be the best dad that you can be.
We're all in the same boat, and it's full of tiny screaming passengers. We spend the time, we give the lessons, we make the meals, we buy them presents. Bring your A game, 'cause those kids are growing fast. The time goes by just like a dynamite blast, calling astronauts and firemen, carpenters and muscle men. Get out and be the world to them. Be the best dad you can be. Be the best dad. you can be.